It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about Season 2, Episode 11, The Motel Guest. And of course, as always, I am joined by someone who definitely drinks too much tea. Stuart, how are you?
Is it too much tea? Is there such a thing? I don't think there is. I mean, my bladder certainly will say that there is too much tea, but I don't know the limit.
How many cups on average a day would you say you drink of tea?
On average?
Yes.
Maybe like 4-5 maybe.
That's a lot.
But like I'm doing like a full average. I'm like taking the worst days where I've like been like a bit of an addict and I've just been using it for any excuse to like get up from my desk and like go for a wander, because when I was in the office that was like best excuse. It's like, oh, I'm just gonna go get tea, and it's like bam, 5 minute break, and so I'd have like sometimes upwards of 10. But
10?
There are the days when you have none.
Okay, also maybe. I have one more question before we introduce our guest. Yeah. Do offices in the UK have like a coffee pot? Like in the US, that is a totally normal thing. There's a coffee pot. There's a communal pot of coffee people get in the morning. Or do we just have tons of kettles and tea bags?
Coffee machines are becoming a more prevalent thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, tea is the default. Like if you don't have a kettle in the office, then you don't have an office. Okay. And one of the first jobs that I got in an office didn't have any coffee, didn't entertain it at all, but they did have a giant tea urn, which was just there with constant
water.
What
is a tea urn? Over.
It was like this big urn that held water that would constantly boil. Yeah, it wasn't the best.
Okay, urns in the United States are for dead people, but that's a whole different story. Let's introduce our guest, someone who really doesn't want you to cry out loud. Zach, how are you?
Good. I was going to say, you got the right person here if you're talking about averages, because I could see what Stuart was doing there with the...
Yeah, with the, someone who knows math on the podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've always needed a mathematician on the podcast, Stuart. This is a great idea to have Zach
on. I was just going to say, like, I'm just trying to like play to the audience here. Like, I know math. Yeah. Also, actually, I've got a query. Math or maths? Because I've got a strong opinion on this.
From the United States. What do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be math.
But there is a right answer.
My degree is in mathematical sciences, so.
Plural. Also, it's not even mathematics. See, it's mathematical. Yeah. No S.
Yeah, but you don't sciences. Study mathematical, do you? You study mathematics.
You just study math.
Please.
And you know what,
American audiences, please back me up, please.
I didn't go to school for math or maths.
Nice reference.
Yes, thank you so much, Zach, for joining us for this episode. Why don't you give us a little bit of your history with Schitt's Creek? Because I believe this is the first time you're coming on in season two. So we haven't heard from you about your history.
Yeah, so for me, it was similar to a story I've heard, I think, multiple times now at this point from guests, is that my wife watched it first somewhere around COVID, maybe a little bit before, somewhere around there, and really enjoyed it. And then I think she's a teacher, so I think it was kind of like a summer binge watch, like when she wasn't at school, in school or whatever. And then later on, we were looking for something to watch. She's like, I kind of want to watch Schitt's Creek again. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll watch it for my first time, and really, really enjoyed it. And I think I had watched even one of the last couple episodes, or like the there's like a reunion kind of special thing that happens at the end of the, and I had seen that while she was watching or whatever. So
that's kind of wild to see that as like your first thing of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things that was kind of always in the background, that like we were in a one bedroom apartment. So I was like maybe doing something at the kitchen table and she was sitting on the couch watching it. So it was like kind of there. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then I haven't like rewatched it a ton, but we'll be like on vacation somewhere and it will be on the TV, or like it's just like a good, not, I don't want to say background show, but it's a good show to just sit around with like family or anything and just watch mm-hmm. and take in together.
Yeah. And Stuart, I do have to divulge to you. I don't know if you knew this particular thing from behind the scenes, but when I was talking to Zach about what episode he wanted to come on for, he said, "Oh, I'm good for whatever, but why don't you put me on an episode with a lot of Roland?" And so I said, "I know exactly the episode for you."
Yeah. We get a lot of Roland in this. Too much, some would say, from certain angles.
Yeah. So, early on, I said in your run here that I want to say a bit of a Roland defender, in that I'm not saying he's a good person. I'm not saying he's like even that maybe fun to watch for most people, but I think he is absolutely necessary for a show like this.
Oh yeah.
And that
definitely.
He is bad in a way, in a different way than the roses are. So he can reflect their worst tendencies onto them and make them mm-hmm. reflect on themselves, on what they should be doing better. And it helps for me also that I don't mind all the cringe, like potty humor kind of aspect to it. So I kind of enjoy him. And Chris Elliott, he's doing such a great job playing the character, that I've loved him since How I Met Your Mother, when he was in playing, I think it was Lily's dad in that.
He did.
It's good to see him like just really going for it here in those kind of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Roland is, I think you've nailed it in terms of why he's essential for this show, because he is that perfect mirror to the shits, to the roses even, because he, like you said, just reflects their worst habits back at them, but with a lens that they are disgusted by it. It's like, well, if she has some similarities with Roland, maybe reassess things, guys. Mm-hmm. But, oh.
Yeah.
That's my only thing. Here. It's just a lot of Roland.
They're both, like, selfish, but one is rich and one is poor. Although now they're both mm-hmm. poor. But one has, like, yeah. you know, luxurious tastes, while the other certainly doesn't. and this, of course, this episode, we get so much Roland, and we get some really interesting pairings between Moira and Roland and Johnny and Jocelyn. So let's do a quick little recap, and then we're gonna dive into chatting all about this episode. Try not to cry out loud as we get into this episode of Schitt's Creek. Roland and Jocelyn have an argument, so Roland stays at the motel and blasts "Don't Cry Out Loud" all night long. The sleep-deprived roses get into an argument, leading to them to both commiserate with the Schitts. Moira visits Roland, and Johnny talks to Jocelyn. Ultimately, the time away brings them closer together, with the Schitts unfortunately rekindling in the room next door. Meanwhile, with Alexis's new job, she can afford to move into a small apartment in Schitt's Creek. David immediately wants the apartment for himself, but neither end up taking it when they learn that a man took his own life there. And that's what happened on this episode of Schitt's Creek, Stuart.
Not a lot. Like, if someone said to me, "Oh yeah, do you remember that episode?" And I'm like, "What really happened?" Because the plot didn't really progress that much in terms of things. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was perfectly enjoyable. I think this is a good one of like just almost like taking a breather when it comes to not really progressing things too much, letting things settle a little bit, and also just reminding us of the scenario of what they're kind of having to deal with. Because we've not really had too much in the way of the motel being a problem. Like, they've been settling in, they've been getting really comfortable. So it's great to just push that button again and just remind them that they are in Schitt's Creek and this is a bad situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good way to, on both ends, with the kids and the adults, to realize that they're still in in the shit, as you were. Like, they're not mm-hmm. they're not where they want to be, and you get a little bit more with one of, I don't think we've gotten too much of him, but you get a little bit of Ray this episode, mm-hmm. who's an incredible side character. Mm-hmm. So I think it's definitely a, I wouldn't call it a memorable episode, but it definitely is, it's passable. It like really, like it makes you laugh. And then you just move on to the next one kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a very serious episode of Schitt's Creek, but I do feel like this is the first time beyond maybe when Moira does the commercial that we've seen real strife between Johnny and Moira. And mm-hmm. the thing is, when you have like 0 hours of sleep, I don't blame anybody for getting into an argument. But I just appreciate the way in which Johnny and Moira argue, where Moira is taking these like little jabs at him, but trying to blame him for being argumentative. It's just perfect. And then to have them kind of separate and each go off to their own, you know, they are able to commiserate. And who would have thought, Zach, that Moira and Roland were going to have something to connect over? You know, mm-hmm. it's baffling, but it works.
Yeah, and it is funny when they get into their tit for tat and they just start raising the stakes on like insulting one another, and it's great to see Catherine O'Hara and Chris Elliott really just like go, and then Chris Elliott all of a sudden go into his shell and be like, oh, that felt a little harsh.
His impression of Moira being British sent me over the edge. It really did.
That was definitely a highlight of the episode for me, is those two going at it. And
is that how you both hear Moira's voice? Because I got maybe a slight attack, like it sounded a little British coded. And I was like, Moira is in no way to be British. But is that just like generic posh?
That's what it is. It's posh. Right. Like anytime you're trying to be fancy, you're like, oh, let me go do this. Ooh. Like it's like very like it is. It's British. That's what I think Americans see fancy as, or I guess they're Canadian, but like fancy equals British.
Mm-hmm. It's very much that like I forget what they called it in like the 20s, like the mid-Atlantic, like
oh yeah.
Or like
yes.
Like 20s movie
transatlantic,
transatlantic, yeah, like
because yeah. It, when Sarah and I covered Dawson's Creek on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, Grams, the character of Grams had like a transatlantic thing going on, mm-hmm. but when I pretended to be like, you know, did an impression of her, it was always British. Yes, yeah. I can't.
So that's always what I see like Moira is doing, is this like weird like transatlantic like mm-hmm. old timey like kind of thing, and then someone like Roland, that's just gonna be British to him, like that's just
yeah.
Like...
yeah it's perfect, and it's like they kind of both needed those other part, the other like the Schitts, to kind of like shake them back into realizing like I just needed to blow off steam. Mm-hmm. And I do think as much as this is a really like silly kind of nonsensical episode that doesn't matter a ton in terms of plot, Stuart, there is something to be said about having a little vent session with someone else about your partner. You know what I mean? Like, you need to be able to vent to someone else about your partner occasionally, even if it is to Jocelyn or more notably Roland.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's human. And especially, like, in relationship where you live with someone, you're going to annoy them. Like, it's just human nature, like, eventually. Like, there's got to be something. Little peccadilloes that might come up that you have to kind of just air out and things. But I love that I wondered this at the end where they kind of resolve things, where they kind of talked in code almost of just like, yeah, she just needed some alone time to clear her head. That's understandable. And it's like, oh, it's unfortunate they can't communicate those things. Oh, well, they don't have what we have. Like, I love that subtext. Well, I say subtext as if it's like the most masked language ever. It's like the two of them are just like, oh, we're so sneaky here, but yeah, we get each other. And it's like, however they need to resolve it, they can resolve it. But I thought it was quite sweet that they kind of at least did what I think that they both want to do, which is paint themselves in a better light than Roland and Jocelyn. And by doing that, they kind of rebonded over it. So weirdly, I don't think it's that healthy, but it works for them, which I guess is the peculiarity of their relationship. So it is kind of sweet in a way. Am I really wrong on that?
No, I don't think so. I think it's interesting how some of the stuff they were like arguing about earlier ends up getting reflected in that thing they come back to at the end, where Moira goes after Johnny for never finishing his fights and going away, but then he comes back with, I just needed some space. Like at the end, he's like, I just needed to go clear my head. Like it's the same idea, just reflected with more understanding when they come back around, even if they're speaking in code and whatever. So it would be better for them to just say it out to each other. Hey, I just needed some time to, you know, breathe for a second. We live in a studio apartment, not even. And like you fell asleep while I stayed up all night. Like,
yeah, but I did appreciate that from Moira, because I'm not going to lie, I've had moments like where I'm the Moira in that situation where I'm just like, I'm like, how dare you be getting okay sleep when I am suffering? Like, how dare you? And I can be a little bit like, I'm going to poke some, you know, just poke just a little bit, just to like get it out, you know? And so I appreciate, why are you raising your eyebrows?
I think it's remarkable that you've been giving Moira MVP so much and Will's favorite is Johnny. I think we're talking about people using coded language. Like, what the heck? I told you this podcast will not be therapy, Jess. I will charge you.
I really like that they think they're so above it that they're like, their version of arguing, which is still arguing, is much more calm and like, you know, no one's raising their voice, but they're still saying things like, oh, you're a little defensive and perhaps a tad paranoid. Oh, well, only after you've taken that condescending father tone with me. Like, it's very, I don't know, it's very calm as opposed to what I imagine a Roland and Jocelyn fight looks like, which feels a little bit more loud. And, you know, I just feel like they're probably screaming at each other a little bit.
Do you think that's why they have so many ornaments? Is because they're there just ammunition for like the eventual throwing against the wall kind of situation?
Ooh,
do you think they're really dramatic like fighters?
I think so. I feel like it's a, I don't know, Zach, you correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels more of like a screaming, yelling, storm out, slam the door, I'm going to stay in the motel for a night. And then Roland immediately is like devastated and blasting music, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely what I picture for Roland. I almost picture for Jocelyn the being the extreme calm and like not changing her any emotion on her face kind of response to everything he says that makes him even madder. It's that he wants to stay up.
Yeah.
So he just kind of stands there with that smile and is like, yeah, sure. Like,
yeah, because Jocelyn is a teacher. So that would track. And Roland is kind of a child at times. Mm-hmm. So all of that would track. I just feel like Jocelyn would be able to keep a level head. Zach, your wife is a teacher, right? In arguments, is she able to like maintain cool? I feel like this is like a thing, right?
Yeah, I mean she has to be, even like she teaches second graders. Like,
oh my god, like, oh. Sounds horrible.
So it's she's dealt with quite a few their children, so I'll put it mildly, personalities in her 7 years of teaching. Like,
yeah.
So she's used to keeping it calm, but then it's also for someone who is taking in so much, sometimes they want to be able to vent to someone when they get home. And Roland does not strike me as the person who's like wanting, let me hear all your problems when you get home kind of thing. So,
yeah. So when they separate, when the roses separate, Johnny goes to the cafe where he bumps into Jocelyn, and we find out some very interesting facts about the Shits. So number one, apparently their honeymoon was at the motel, which, why not just stay home? Like, if you're gonna stay in your own town, why are you going to a shitty motel?
Jess, put on the romance here. Do you not remember the honeymoon suite and how just inviting it was?
The heart bed.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. Like, why would you not want your own bed?
You know that Roland and Jocelyn are into like role play stuff. They've talked about that before, so it was probably all part of the thing to be like pretending it was a fan. It's like fancy hotel. Oh,
they like pretend to be strangers and everything.
Yeah, they were probably like doing some weird stuff.
There must be a Meryl Streep film like with a hotel room, right? That they could have enacted.
Yeah. Yes. And then we also find out that the song "Don't Cry Out Loud" by Carol Bayer Sager, I think, but it's best known as a hit single for Melissa Manchester, apparently.
Yeah.
That is their wedding song and also the first song they had sex to. And I truly, the lyrics, like, why? Like, I understand weird picks, right? But, like, this is a, like, this feels like a sad song.
Yeah, it almost sounds like "All By Myself" when it starts playing. Like,
yes. Yeah, it didn't, why? Just why, though?
It's a choice. And
it's unexplainable.
Oh, I mean, so I've always associated this song with one of my favorite films, which is Drop Dead Gorgeous. It's played in the most unhinged scene of a former pageant winner returning back with like full blown anorexia. It's like a full on dark comedy about like kind of the absurdity of pageant life and everything associated with it. And so when I heard this, I was just immediately taken back to that. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a hurdle because somehow this, I get the sense that this is going to try and like make this song something that's going to overtake that in my memory. And yet somehow it's been in my head all week. So I think it's done a successful job of actually shoving out a core memory for me that has been there for decades, which is impressive. But there's a choice for a, like, not only a wedding song, but like your first night together song?
Why is this like, listen, maybe they didn't have like playlists and like just random like songs to have sex to playlists on like Spotify or whatever the hell back then, right? Like probably
they
not.
Had Spotify, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking really, but like if you're like picking out a CD or a cassette tape or something, why are you picking the CD with this song on it? I look at the wiki for this song and apparently it was it was the guy Peter Allen it was to reflect when his mother taught him to always put your best face on in response to Allen's father dying by suicide when Allen was 14 years old. Why is this your wedding song? It's not a happy song. It's the whole lyrics are basically like, don't cry out loud. Keep everything down deep, deep inside. Hide your feelings. Don't let them show.
There's also a surprising amount of references to the circus in the lyrics for some reason as I'm reading them now.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was like they're role-playing circus people or something. And so they're like, this is a circus song. And they didn't want to do the like, na 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 na. I don't know. You can't justify it. There's just no way to justify this.
No, I'm waiting for something
to click.
Like a lyric or like someone involved in it that just makes it make sense. Like maybe it was in a Meryl Streep film or something like that. But nothing's coming forward, which makes me just think that it is an unhinged choice, which I think makes it funnier for me because I'm just like, it's just absurd. And I kind of like it because we've had some absurd things happen, but this is unhinged absurd, like, and I don't think we've had anything like this, which is a nice kind of like direction for it to go in.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, so they each get a little moment to vent, and Jocelyn does say like maybe it was the election, like it's very difficult on couples, which could be true. You know, I mean, it's a stressor for sure. But luckily, after each side vents, Roland and Jocelyn reunite. But like instead of just going home and like having sex in their own bed, no, we have to blast "Don't Cry Out Loud." And like, you know, the walls are thin. I guess the thing is, Zach, like I have shame. They must just not.
No, they don't. I mean, if we don't know that by now in this series, they're legitimately none. Probably negative shame, like
it's the complete opposite. It's like Roland has done nothing to exhibit shame in any part of his like whole existence. I just the whole Roland is so peculiar sometimes as well, because as part of this whole ruse of like him being there, he does some of the worst lying I've ever seen. And this is after milk money, when like they get stopped. Like, how does he think that they think that Jocelyn is in there? And then also plays up as if like tries gaslighting them into like, oh, you know, they don't think you're there, honey. It's like, come on, buddy. Like, you're an idiot. Yeah. But are you that much of an idiot? Well, yeah, we do know that, but yeah.
Yeah.
He's very proud, is the thing, is that he doesn't want people to realize that he has no shame in that he will do things that will like nobody else would do, but he is also very proud in that he doesn't want people to think that he's in trouble or like having hard times or whatever. He's like, I'm the jolly guy. I'm the one who will do anything. Mm-hmm. If the minute I look sad, people are not gonna like me anymore. So
yeah, I also think him and Jocelyn, like that's probably the most stable thing he has in his life. And so like there being some sort of trouble between them, especially when, as Jocelyn puts it, it's like, oh, you and Moira, you're obviously on the rock. So they just think they're like above. Each couple thinks that they're better than the other. And I feel like that's kind of just a thing about being in a couple in general. It's like sometimes you meet other couples and you're like, there's something going on over there. Like, at least we're not them, you know? Yeah. Like, I think it was a TikTok or something where it's like the debrief where it doesn't matter who you're visiting. It could be like your family, your partner's family, friends, doesn't matter what it is. As soon as you get in the car and you're like driving away from whatever event you're at, you're like, okay, we're debriefing. Let me tell you what this person said. Like, and that's how it feels like both those couples probably are, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. It's, I know exactly what you're talking about. And you even like wait a few seconds, like before you're driven away, like somebody's going to hear you, even though you're in your car. Yes. And you're still
you're like, oh, that person is such an a-hole. Yeah. Yeah.
But, they both, and it is funny because when Johnny encounters Jocelyn at the cafe and he's like, venting about Moira, even though he's kind of not really venting about her, he's like venting about what he thinks Jocelyn thinks about Roland, even though he's saying what he thinks about Moira. Mm-hmm. It's like this weird like double talk thing. He eventually realizes what he's done and goes and like tries to backpedal immediately, because then he feels like he's convinced Jocelyn to not let Roland come back.
Yeah. Nightmare. Yeah. Like, Johnny, you had one job, and it was to get Jocelyn to come take Roland away. That is your job, Johnny. Unless you want your wife to not get another night of sleep, which no one wants. Which, by the way, Stuart, have you ever used one of these pillows that Moira has on her head in the morning? What are they called, like an ostrich pillow? Have you seen them before? Do you know what I'm talking about?
That was a pillow? I thought it was one of her outfits. Like, it looked like a really stiff waistcoat, or like armholes, didn't it?
Yeah, but I believe it's intended for, it's a very silly item, but I've seen, I think people use it on planes sometimes. So it goes over your head and then it's meant so that you could lay on your arms, like theoretically a desk or something in front of you. You put your arms in the holes and then rest your head down.
Could I get one for
this called
podcast?
An ostrich pillow, because you're like,
have a rest.
Because you're like burying your head in something like an ostrich would stand.
Yeah.
Every day we stray further and further away. I don't like how this is going.
So that's the shits and the roses. But let's talk about Alexis and David. Because all I have to say is $275 a month.
Oh yeah.
In this economy? Like, where? How? What?
$275 a month?
I spend more than that on groceries. Like, what are we talking about? For a place? For a whole place?
And it looked like not a small place either.
Yeah.
It was like a two bedroom, wasn't it?
I think it looked bigger than where I live. And it was also like the promise of like thick glazing for like when, like, so you can't hear outside, and deaf neighbors. Like, come on. That's the dream, right? Like, you can get away with anything. Yeah. You can play, like, Don't Cry Out Loud as you like, and no one will complain. It'd be amazing.
And maybe this is just me, although, Zach, I know you just recently went through a really rough time, like, trying to purchase a house because, again, it's a terrible time to buy a house and millennials are screwed is the long and the short of it. But I just, okay, maybe this is just me. But if I hear someone died in a place, I just see I'm saving money. Like, they're not going to be able to rent it for as much as they want. And I'm like, sounds great. Move me on in. Like, maybe it's a friendly ghost. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, sounds cheaper. Perfect. Sign me up.
Yeah, I was definitely getting to that point when we found this house, probably. But yeah, I mean, as long as it's not an active crime scene already, it's probably cleaned up professionally.
Exactly. Just change the carpets. I don't know.
Change the carpets, Jeff. That's horrendous.
Listen, desperate times, desperate measures, you know?
I mean, like, yeah. If someone died, I don't think it would put me off as much as I'd like wind you up there. It's tough. Like, you gotta do whatever you can to, like, get something right. But I don't know. I'm just taken back to this scene where the Simpsons are house hunting and they've got, like, no budget. And then there's the one they go to view and it's got, like, written in blood on the wall, "I'll be back." And it's like, I think I'd still consider it at this point. Like, I'd give that one a go. I'd be like, I'll just change the lock.
Hey, can you, like, scrub that off before we move in? Then
yeah. Oh, we'll just have it painted. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, London landlords would be like, we'll gloss over it. Just the white gloss treatment on everything.
Landlord special. Mm. Yeah, Alexis is living in a motel room in a twin bed with her brother. Like, what? Yes, I will take the studio apartment that is $275 a month. Yes, please. Like, she could pay that with, like, I don't know, half of her paycheck for a week or something. I don't know how much she gets paid at the vet. But, like, that is a great deal. And we do get a little more Stevie this episode, Stuart, because Alexis is like, oh, you look like you know about affordable housing. Like, this looks cute, right? That was such a
backhand compliment.
I love that Stevie entertains it, like, just goes there for a while. And then whenever she can, just stirs the pot. Like, I love her stirring up stuff with David and annoying him. So when she's there and she's like, oh, yeah, Alexis talks about potentially using it as, like, her bed as a guest bed or something. Yeah. And then Stevie suggests, like, renting it out. Genius. Like, you can just see that twitch returning for David's eyebrow, which was incredible. Again, not enough Stevie. Why did we not get more Stevie? Like, why couldn't Stevie
come to the apartment?
Exactly. Yeah.
David's Alexis impression in that scene is also perfect.
Oh, why would they do that? So good.
I love Alexis saying, as an attractive single female, I don't feel comfortable going to look at an apartment by myself. And David's line about the t-shirts looking like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which are Roland's Nas t-shirts. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. And so, of course, Ray, who is a photographer, he's into real estate. He might be is he a lawyer too or something? I feel like he might be a lawyer.
Travel as well.
Travel agent.
We saw like a sign of him with his industries. So industrious.
Yeah. He shows them the space. Yeah.
He's also the perfect person to deliver the idea that someone had died there because he's so cheery. He's just like, yeah. And they had to, cut him down. It's just like,
what was it like? Okay, now the fans detachable or something? Yes. I was like, that's so dark.
Yeah, every once in a while, this show will go incredibly dark out of nowhere, and you're not prepared for it at all.
Yeah. And David, of course, is really into the place. He's like, oh my gosh, it costs less than my P.O. box in New York. And so he obviously wants it. So he's trying to get Alexis off of it, which, I mean, there have to be other studio apartments in Schitt's Creek, right? Like, I guess he could have waited. But I think Zach, where are you? Do you have siblings? And if so, are you oldest, youngest? Where do you fall?
I have one younger brother, so I'm the oldest.
Okay, well, this is not great for me because both of you are older siblings, but I'm just going to say that David feels very, like, entitled to this apartment. Like, oh, I'm the older brother, therefore I should have this apartment in a way that was very triggering for me.
You're not wrong. That's all I'm going to say. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from. I also think he knows, maybe he doesn't know, but I feel like he feels that Alexis is not ready for a place of her own yet. And he's like, well, I'm very much like ready to go. Like I have my thing I'm planning. Like I'm at the store now. I'm doing all this stuff. Like,
I feel like he feels like he just deserves the apartment over Alexis. And he's trying everything. Like, he's like, oh, it's really quiet in here. Like, alarmingly quiet. Like, no one would hear you scream if you had to scream. Yeah. Like, it's really bad. Like, this reminded, especially at the end of the episode, when we get David talking about, like, oh, ghosts. And do you ever wake up with chapped lips? And she goes, Dad. And he goes, Dad's dead. You're such a dick, David. The thing is, this is such a brother thing to do, or just a sibling thing to do, especially an older sibling. When I was a child, and I will never forget this, when I was a child, because you know how occasionally if you cry, like your eyelash, like an eyelash or two will come out. Well, my brother told me that if all my eyelashes fell out, I wouldn't be able to blink anymore and I would die. And so what did I do? I cried more because it was upsetting.
That's horrid. I mean, I did and said some, well, I'd say regrettable, but I mean, now I look back at them, it's hilarious things when I was younger. I mean, I used to joke all the time that my brother was adopted, despite the fact that he's the younger brother. And at one point, it was quite notoriously, my brother turns to my mum, goes quite upset and goes, Mum, is the reason why you give me lots of hugs because I'm adopted? You want to make up for it? And I was like, okay, the joke's over now. The joke's over. I'm not doing this again.
See, so I come from a family where we always claimed, like, I would say, I guess I'm adopted. Because, like, you know, when your sibling or your parents are acting stupid, you're just like, well, I must be adopted then. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have that joke. But did you do this to your younger sibling, Zach? Did you?
See, I was never, I guess, creative enough at this point. Like, I was just, my brother annoyed me in many ways, but like, it was only like while we were doing stuff. So I never like tried to like pull off pranks on him like that, or like things like that on him. It was more of like, we were playing video games together and he would be the one, I would be the one like focusing in on trying to get to the next thing. And then he'd be like, la di da di da, where the hell, like just doing everything. And I'd be like, Alex, stay on the freaking task.
did you ever do the older sibling thing where you hand them a controller that's not plugged in?
No, because we're like basically, we're 16 months apart. So we basically are like not that far apart in age. Yeah. So it was never like a good enough age gap for me to be like, you would believe this and I'm old enough to think about this thing. Like,
yeah, I've got a 7-year age difference. Stuart. I mean,
you're a monster.
7 years, yeah. Like it's a completely different generational thing. But I also think there is an element of that being earned, and the entitlement is also due because it's the guinea pig. All of the things that they did wrong happened to me, and they learned from the mistakes.
See,
I've heard a stand-up bit about this.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good because it's basically the same premise of like I was the beta test and then you got all the benefits.
The problem is, when the first one isn't born perfect, they have to try again until they get it right, aka their second born. And this is the problem. It's like, not my fault. You screwed up a ton of times. And they were like, guess we're going to have another one. And the problem was, see, my brother, he didn't do the unplugged controller thing. I feel like I might have caught on to that. Instead, what he did, oh, can I play with you? And he would say, no, you can watch, though. I didn't watch Twitch for years and years and years after it became popular because I was, like, traumatized from having to watch video games as a child all the time, not being allowed to play them.
See, I thought Twitch came about because of conditioning of younger siblings being forced to watch. And it was like, yeah. Oh, this is how I consume video games. Now I must watch other people play them. Jeez.
Such rough. A monster. such a monster. But yeah, this is, again, like, I think this is why I love David and Alexis so much. It's just they really do feel like honest siblings. And I just, Mom, Dad.
It's just so pointed.
But yeah, neither one of them ends up with the apartment, which I guess it's, you know, good enough because they're going to still be in the same room arguing all the time, which is, you know, fun.
Yeah. But
also want to point out David's don't shirt in that last scene is pretty great.
A very appropriate one just before bed. Like, if anyone tries to talk to you, just don't.
Just point at the shirt. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But just one thing to jump back on. You mentioned about the price of it, Jess, being $275. Mm-hmm. That's potentially Canadian as well, just to throw that out
so
there.
So it's even cheaper.
Yeah.
What is, okay, $275 Canadian to US dollars. $202?
Yeah, currently.
Like, that is, like, this is pennies. It's nothing. And, I mean, obviously, this was whatever year it was. Like, you know, a number of years back at this point. But we're not talking, like, 90s. Like, we're not doing the inflation calculator for the 90s. It's still in the 2000s. In fact, it's, like, still in the 2010s. So,
oh. So it's probably only gone up by, like, 100% or something. Like,
this is ridiculous. This is upset. Well, I'm upset now.
Here's my proposal to everyone. If it is that cheap, who wants to move to Schitt's Creek? Because, like, I gladly would for that money. Like, I can work from home. I'll get away with it. It'll be grand. I just have to get up really early in the morning to do work overseas. But sure. But that much money, I'd move anywhere. I don't think Schitt's Creek would be that bad. As long as I've got internet to do this podcast, I think I'll live.
It's pretty quaint.
Sure. I think the problem is the internet any good? Because Stevie said they have dial-up. Now, maybe that's just the motel.
I thought that was just how old the show was.
It's not that old. It's not that old.
Oh my God.
Oh, I don't ruin this plan. I want cheap rent.
don't we all?
That's our episode. Anything else either one of you wanted to talk about that we haven't already?
No, I think we hit on a ton.
The only things I noticed is that although we're getting the button pushed on how bad the motel is, I couldn't help but notice how homely it's suddenly become with Johnny and Moira when they were in their little routine of, like, the kettle. Like, when the kettle started whistling, I was like, what the heck is going on? And then they just casually make tea. Also, bonus points for Johnny and Moira. But
if that's why one of them gets your Simply the Best point, Stuart, I'm going to scream at you.
Spoilers for later, everyone. Guard your ears. Yeah, no, it was like, I like the fact that they've turned it into more of a home, which I think was a fantastic setup for when Roland obviously turns up and absolutely bulldozes over their kind of lovely home environment that they've started building. It's like, it was a good way of showing how they progressed, but then also bringing them back down to where they were. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some feedback. We did hear from Trish saying, I think for me this is quite a weak episode. It doesn't feel like anything is happening beyond the possibility of Alexis or David getting a place. And I guess so, right? Like, we're at the anti-penultimate episode of the season. So don't make that face, Stuart. It's the
Who's anti-penultimate when she's at home?
So I guess it maybe feels like we should be progressing the plot a little bit more, but I don't know. I don't mind a little bit of a stop down in a sitcom.
It's a sitcom.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, what plot is there really to massively resolve this season other than the election? There's not too much lingering. I mean, there's still time for them to discover that Mutt seems to be missing and that no one seems to have acknowledged or noticed.
Exactly. No one cares. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, there's not too much. So yeah, I think I'm content with it. Just calming down for this one. I imagine it's going to pick up in the next day. So yeah.
It'd be kind of wild if it didn't. It kind of just petered out to the end.
We also heard from Ashley. What Schitt's Creek character, other than Roland, would be your least favorite neighbor? Zach, do you have any ideas?
So I had two different ideas here, and it's kind of funny because both of the characters are connected in some way. First one is, Jess is going to love this, Mutt. He's like making, he's like doing carpentry in the middle of his living room, probably making a lot of noise with that. Probably not going to be great. And then the other one is Alexis, because she talks about parties all the time, and she's trying to stay up all night partying at certain points. Then that's also, if you're trying to sleep, not going to be great.
These are excellent points. Stuart, what do you think?
I was going to completely agree. Yeah, Alexis, I'll throw in Mutt now that you've mentioned it completely. But Alexis, I mean, not only for the parties, but do I really want to overhear people swinging from rafters doing what they're doing? No, thank you. That sounds loud.
I completely agree with you. Mutt is my number one choice, obviously. But I'm going to, as much as I'm a Bob apologist, a Bob apologist, if you will, I will say, I feel like he's the type of neighbor who will like come over and be like, hey, neighbor, can I borrow your rake or something? I have some outdoor work to do. Yeah. And then he never returns it. He gives those vibes.
No, I get that for sure.
Yeah, I thought you were going to be like, oh, he'll be loud, because I was about to refute him and be like, no, because when we saw him and Gwen in the cabin, they were just sat in the living room reading very quietly. But he would absolutely be that neighbor that just knocks constantly. Like, even if it's not to borrow things, I think he would just be knocking just to ask for favors occasionally.
No. Oh, can you watch the garage for a bit? He would be like a Flanders sort of like, what does he say? Heidi.
Heidi ho, neighborito.
That's it. Yeah. He would do one of those. He'd be constantly like over the fence, like wanting to chat. And like, some people love that. Some people love like in the suburbs, love a little neighborly neighbor. I don't like that. Don't talk to me. I'll wave at you, but we don't need to be friends. So I definitely don't want to have like small talk with you.
Is the whole neighbor thing, talking over the fence, an actual thing? Or is this just like from Home Improvement and Boy Meets World?
I had a chat with my neighbor over the fence less than a month ago.
Oh?
What about you, Zach? I don't know. Are you in the suburbs? I don't know.
Kind of-ish. I had a chat with one of my neighbors when we first moved in, but it was through a chain link fence. So it wasn't really like over a fence.
Yeah,
but we actually just installed a fence in our yard that's like for so we can have the dog back there, and it's 6 feet tall. You can't have
Block them out.
Yeah,
big fan. We also got Nick W had sent in a tweet and said, and it was from the Redheaded Libertarian is the Twitter account. Good news, I finally figured out who Tim Walz reminds me of. It's just a compilation of Bob Jobs.
Oh man, I saw that too, and
so good.
It's funny. I am like Jess, a Bob apologist.
Yeah,
I do think he can probably be a little bit invasive at times, whatever. But the jog is so funny. It's like
so good.
It and just like the clap at the end, like it's this that actor nailed the same exact thing every single time that he's on screen. And if that's his only character note, it doesn't matter to me. It's as funny as someone like Bob Vance on The Office just saying Vance Bob Vance Vance for sure. Yeah,
yes,
like
completely.
It's, you know, same thing.
Yeah, listen, it likes it. I already really loved Bob and Tim Walz, so now it just raises both of them even higher because you know what, as much as I say Bob would not return like a tool, there was like a tweet I saw that like Tim Walz is the guy who not only lends you the tool, but comes over and helps you with the project that you're working on. And like, it's so lovely, you know?
I would
just lend him a broken tool. He might fix it before he gives it back to you kind of thing.
Like, yeah. I will just say, I'll repeat what I kind of said in reply to it when I saw it earlier, is I'm not sure if it improves Bob or ruins Tim Walz for me. But if Tim Walz does the Bob jog, I mean, I would say he'd earn my vote. I can't vote in your elections, and he's already got it anyway. But yeah, surely would win the election on that alone, right?
And we also got a comment on our YouTube channel, which you can visit to see our faces, from Rillian2231. Can confirm wearing scrubs is the best. That was from our last podcast, which I'm just so jealous. It feels like, I mean, I guess I work from home. I could wear whatever I want. But for people that have to leave their house, I feel like scrubs really must be just so comfortable. And they have pockets. Yeah.
Which... scrubs and Crocs, like, people that work in healthcare have it down in terms of, like, comfort.
Do you wear Crocs, Stuart?
I don't wear Crocs. I've never actually worn a Croc, but I've been told that they're very comfortable.
I have two, but they're just so ugly.
Yeah. Well, my brother-in-law has some that he wears when he is spending a long day in the kitchen cooking. He said it's like done wonders for his back if he's like
okay.
Standing on his
feet.
Does
he have one of those
time.
Anti-fatigue mats? Because he should get one of those.
Yes, he has those too.
Poor guy. Nice. Really suffering.
Do they engage sports mode on them though? That's my favorite meme with Crocs. With the, no. with the little like heel strap and they're like sports mode engaged.
Oh my gosh. And of course, I have to shout out one thing. We ask all the time, Stuart, for 5-star ratings because it really does help people find the show. Now.
Yes, and as an older sibling, I'm entitled to them. You owe me them.
There you go. Here's the thing. All of these opinions that are said on this podcast are not necessarily agreed upon by everyone in the podcast. A good example of this. Well, the audience or the members of the podcast, not everyone agrees with everything that either one of us says. Thing is, I still retain the right to give out disgruntled pelican points to anyone I damn well please. And the thing is, dropping a star because you disagree with me on a rating is not nice because it lowers the whole rating. And poor Stuart did nothing wrong. And he is the recipient of a 4-star podcast rating as a result of one of my opinions.
Are you trying to Oliver Twist Stuart right now?
Please, sir, can I have some more stars?
He is British, so it works.
Yes, because all British are people that are Oliver Twist. Wow.
So anyway, please don't do that because it really does hurt the podcast. And it's really upsetting when all I did was give Jocelyn a disgruntled pelican voice. I won't name names, but I did see it.
But wait, that would have come in when you singularly gave Jocelyn LVP.
And then we both did it
last week.
We're going to drop down to 2 stars now.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, to quote the famous singer Demi Lovato, sorry, not sorry. I'm going to keep doing it.
You're going to be like, to quote the famous singer Demi Lovato, camp rock.
Cool for the summer.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were actually going to go with give my heart a break for a second there.
So many applicable songs by Demi Lovato. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about ratings. Zach, we'll start with you. Who is simply the best for you this episode?
So I actually think this is actually kind of a hard episode to do the simply the best for because everybody's kind of, I don't want to say on their worst behavior, but they're all being needly at each other, and everybody's like, even like Dave and Alexis, who are on like the B plot, are still like needling each other and causing problems. But I think I don't know, maybe it's because of the whole Big Brother thing. I'm gonna give it to David. He made me laugh the entire time, and I don't know, he was making some good points.
An older brother would say that. What about you, Stuart? Who is simply the best?
To Zach's point, I mean, everyone was pretty rough this entire episode. I was leaning potentially towards Alexis because I thought I loved the idea of, well, she got a regular paycheck coming in, hopefully going to get out. And it is also kind of accepting Schitt's Creek as, okay, this, we're not going to fix this. We now have to deal with it and make the best of it. But this absolute joy of light came into this episode when he was off showing them around the place. I'm giving it to Ray.
Nice.
I think he deserves it.
Good job, Ray. I think this is the first time he's on the board. So,
mm-hmm.
Good for you, Ray, getting a point. Yeah, I mean, you said it, Stuart. I'm going to give my point to Alexis. She's trying her best. She wants to move out. She should be able to get an apartment without her stupid big brother coming in and trying to steal it. And you know what? He's going to be the one suffering when she's having nightmares from him saying there's dead people in their room. Because who's she going to wake up? The guy right next to her. You get murdered first, David. You get murdered first. Alexis is getting my point.
Incredible.
Disgruntled Pelican. I'll go first here. And I mean, it's so obviously Roland. If I was in a room next to him and he did that literally all night long, I think I would get arrested for murder. Like, I wouldn't be able to contain myself. I'd be worse than Moira was in the morning. Like, you're going to interrupt my sleep? The audacity of you. Absolutely not. Roland sucks. He's getting my disgruntled Pelican point. That's it. What about you, Stuart?
Yeah, I've got to go, Roland. I was toying with Jocelyn just to wind up
the listener.
But I mean, I get so easily triggered by noise from neighbors. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm gonna admit it here, I'm a knocker, I'm a note person when things get too much and stuff, because I've had upstairs neighbors that stomp around, and it sends me into a anger. I've also had neighbors complain about noise to me. When once we got a complaint from our upstairs neighbor who came down to us and complained about the noise that we were doing at 8 p.m. on a Friday night. And when we opened the door, they saw that our massive gathering was four people playing Trivial Pursuit. And somehow we got a noise complaint. But still, that aside, I'm giving it to Roland. It's just unacceptable behavior, buddy.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, as much as I wanted to come in here and give it to anyone but Roland, just for, I guess, I don't know the principle of it, but so I'd toyed with Johnny for a second because he almost continued Roland's visit for several days beyond what it should have been. Mm-hmm. It does come down to, it's just absolutely insane to blast music that loud at a motel.
And the same song over and over again. Like, I mean, listen, we all went through our phases. When I was like 12, I listened to the song Complicated by Avril Lavigne on repeat for like an hour once. I was like 12 and it was Avril Lavigne. Like, can you blame me? You know what I mean? Johnny, there's no excuses for his behavior.
Yeah, so I got to go with Roland. It's a sad for me to come in here and do that, but
he's earned that disgruntled Pelican point this episode. Okay, let's tier rank our episode. As a reminder, we have Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey for Me, You, David, and Shit Out of Luck. Zach, do you have any inclinations on where you'd like this episode to fall? Which tier?
I mean, I would lean in probably Love That Journey for Me, but I'm not 100% sure where within the tier you would go with it. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, currently we have The Candidate, Jazza Gals, and Moira's Nudes all falling in Love That Journey for Me. Stuart, do you have a strong opinion on where, if it were to go into Love That Journey for Me, where it should go?
Yeah, I think it's certainly not the greatest episode, but then it's, I think, perfectly good. I mean, it had some real laugh out loud moments. The whole, David impression of Alexis had me howling at the time, because it just, I didn't expect it, and it was just on the nose. So good. I think certainly you'd love that journey for me. And I think I'd bump it ahead of The Candidate, because I look at that screen grab again.
It's because you always look at that screen grab. It's not that bad of an episode.
But no, I think I preferred Ronnie's Party, if we're going to do comparisons to other episodes. Last week, I certainly thought that was a better episode than this one. So I'd put it below Ronnie's Party, above The Candidate. What about you? Which are you leaning towards?
So Jazza Gals has the Moira solo, which is hilarious. Moira's nudes obviously has like the entire concept of wanting your nudes to be online, which I really just love, and the body positivity for Moira, and like, ooh, would anybody want to see these boobies? Like, just, it's like so ridiculous. I do think this is, at least in my opinion, probably the weakest episode of the season. I just like, there are some funny moments, but it both doesn't really have plot progression and doesn't have as many laugh out loud moments for me as some of the others. But I'm flexible, and I can move with you all if you want to put it at the more at the top end of Love That Journey for me.
Let's stick it somewhere in the middle then. Let's do a bit of a compromise. Let's, I don't know.
Do you want to do it behind the Jazzgals? Below Jazzgals? What do you think, Zach?
Yeah.
I think where you have it right now between Jazzgals and Moira's nudes, probably a good...
What a place to be, in between Jazzgals and Moira's nudes.
Yeah. As soon as I said that sentence, I was like, what did I say?
There's all a right, clip so, the socials.
Let's leave it in Love That Journey for me.
Love That Journey for me.
Perfect.
These sound effects, man.
It's so good. Okay, now that we have properly rated the episode, that's all we have, except, Stuart, do you want to hear next week's episode title?
Indeed I do.
Season 2, episode 12. Lawn signs.
We're getting political.
Do you also have lawn signs over there? Do you do, or garden signs? You call
no,
gardens, don't you?
We tend to be more like little posters in windows. I imagine it's not quite as divisive, I would say, to state one's political allegiances in one's home. But yeah, also we have small houses, so we don't really have lawns. Most part, anyway.
Do you use the word lawn? Like, if you were not, to, like, no?
Not really. Garden. It's just a garden.
But what do you call the thing with a bunch of flowers in it?
Flower bed.
What about a big one?
What?
What about where you grow vegetables?
Yeah.
A vegetable patch.
A vegetable patch?
Yeah. That's not weird. It's a patch of vegetables.
I just associate that with like a farm.
That's what I was thinking. Like, you go to like get a pumpkin at like a pumpkin patch.
Wow.
Do you get pumpkins?
Like, yeah, we get pumpkins.
Okay.
It's becoming like a more. It's becoming one of those American things that we've now adopted because we've watched it in media, and thus it becomes part of our culture as the slow degradation of our own culture becomes American over the decades.
I was just checking. We're coming up on fall now. Suddenly there's fall things in every store I go into, or autumn. Sorry, autumn things.
Thank
all
you.
The major Northeast breweries have started putting out their pumpkin beers already.
It's August, in case people forgot. It's freaking August.
Don't care. Summer can get in the bin. Let's get on. Let's move on with our lives.
I'm ready for summer to be over, but that does not change the date on the calendar, which is August. And like, we could like, I don't care about pumpkin spice. Listen, I know everyone loves pumpkin spice. I don't really care about pumpkin spice. I love the fall. I love autumn. But like, why are we rushing to get there? You know what I mean? Like, I like to enjoy the time that it's around. So I don't want to be like assaulted with pumpkins and ghosts and witchy cats and everything in August.
Plus, we all know it's going to be like 90 degrees again in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it is. Anyway.
Hey, the gate keeps cinnamon there, Jess. Way.
I love cinnamon. I just don't need cinnamon in August. Anyway. That's our episode. Zach, thank you so much for joining us and at least attempting to defend Roland. I put you between a rock and a hard place, between Moira's nudes and Jazzgals, if you will, when I brought you on to defend Roland in a really bad episode for Roland.
Yeah, no, it's, hey, I knew what I was walking into, and I had this was awesome. I had a great time.
Is there anything you want to plug, anywhere people can find you if they want to check out anything you have going on?
I really don't have that much going on.
Do you want
to
plug any sports teams? How do sports teams work? Can you plug sports teams? Can you be like, go root for this team?
You could, but my football team's going to be god-awful this year. So
who is your football team?
Oh, going to get all the comments. I'm a Patriots fan. I'm from New England.
You're going to get bad. People hate the Patriots.
Yeah. Even I hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
I am born and raised in New Hampshire and Massachusetts.
You didn't have a choice. Oh, yeah. It's fine.
I mean, I didn't have to be, but like, come on.
Listen, I will forgive you more because you were born into it rather than being like a full on like 25-year-old and being like, and this is my team, baby.
Also, you know? Here, I'll just piss everyone off. I don't like Tom Brady that much.
Well, so. That makes everyone happy, doesn't it? Tom Brady is an a-hole.
Yeah, so.
He's the worst.
Stone cold take.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's not the spicy
take. Well,
it's
a hot take in New England.
So. Oh, fair. Yeah. This is fair. Yeah. Well, if you want to, go support the Patriots or something.
Yeah.
Stuart, anything? Go ahead, Stuart.
I'm around on the Discord. I'm doing stuff.
Yes, the now-defunct Potion Recaps Discord. And, if you want to come in, hit us up. Maybe we'll let you in. Who knows?
And, you know, if you're a Post Show Recaps patron, you can go back. I was on the Percy Jackson podcast at one point. I was on the YA for one of the Maze Runner movies. You can try to find that.
Good luck. Find those podcasts. Stuart, what about you? Anything else you want to talk about?
I've gone to Winners at War on Survivor. I am into it. And I am outraged at the last episode. I won't do spoilers, but two very prominent players went out in one episode, and I'm furious. And it only happened an hour ago, and I'm still recovering. So just
welcome
bear
to being
in mind,
a Survivor
listeners.
Fan. Aren't you happy we didn't make you watch Game Changers? Because that feeling that you're having right now, pretty much the entire season, you would have been feeling like that.
Yeah, I don't like it. Why can't my favorites just always win? Why can't my favorites be multimillionaires? Why? Damn it, Jeff Probst. But yeah, other than that, find me on social, Stuart Drinks Tea. Please give us some 5-star ratings. Or send in some feedbacks. We love it.
We love the feedbacks and the 5 stars. you can find me at The Just Sterling and at Shit 90s Pod, where we are talking Buffy and Felicity. We're nearly done with season 2 of Buffy, and I love it. I really do. I understand why people love this show, because when it's good, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that out. And hit us up with some feedback. We're at Talking Shit everywhere. And next week, we'll be back talking about some lawn signs. So until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.